Stand together for the reading of God's holy word and turn in your Bibles to the book of Genesis chapter 39. Genesis 39. All right, look there at verse 2. Verse 2. And the Lord was with Joseph, and he was a prosperous man, and he was in the house of his master, the Egyptian. And his master saw that the Lord was with him, and that the Lord made all that he did to prosper in his hand. Now jump down to verse 21. But the Lord was with Joseph and showed him mercy and gave him favor in the sight of the keeper of the prison. And the keeper of the prison committed to Joseph's hand all prisoners that were in the prison. And whatsoever they did there, he was the doer of it. The keeper of the prison looked not to anything that was under his hand, because the Lord was with him. And that which he did, the Lord made it to prosper.
Now there are seven people in the Bible of whom it is said the Lord was with that person. Joseph is one of those seven. And four times the expression is used in this chapter that the Lord was with Joseph, or the Lord was with him. Now, this thought has stuck with me for a while, because more than just about anything else, I want the Lord to be with me. I want the Lord to be with me. I know that since the Lord does not change, He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. I know that I can't expect God to come over to my side and be with me. But I can go over to His side and be with Him. And the Bible says if you'll draw nigh to God, He'll draw nigh to you. But it always starts with you taking the step to Him. He's never going to change His positions to stand with you. But I want to be with Him, but I also want to be the kind of person that God wants to be with, that God will be with and prosper. That the Lord was with Joseph means that God was on his side, intervening in his life, blessing him and his work, protecting him from harm, and using him for his purpose. It was summed up in verse 23 when it says, that which he did, the Lord made it to prosper. Now, Joseph's circumstances were not very prosperous, from a pit to prison, Potiphar's house. And yet, whatever he was doing, despite his circumstances, the Lord made it to prosper. Now, it's no secret that Joseph is one of my favorite people in the Bible. When we found out we were having a son, we named him Joseph. If it had been another girl, we might have gone with Josephine. I don't know. But I love Joseph in the Bible because there's nothing negative about him. And Joseph and Daniel, two of my favorite people in the Bible. And I believe that the Lord was with Joseph because of Joseph's integrity, because of his character. His father said much later that Joseph was fruitful in the land of his affliction. Despite all that Joseph went through, his integrity, his character remained untarnished, and his spirit remained unbroken. Now, Joseph was, in every sense of the word, an overcomer. I like an overcomer. I love overcoming stories. I like to hear about or read about people that have overcome great obstacles to achieve something in life. Joseph overcame a bad family situation. Well, he was born into a backslidden family. His father was far from God's will. His dad had too many wives. He had too many half-brothers and half-sisters, and they all were wicked young men. And this strange family situation of a man and four wives and all these kids and idol worship going on and wickedness going on and adultery going on inside their home. And yet Joseph overcame a bad family situation. And so can you. If you were born into a bad situation, your parents are not what they should have been, or you didn't have the best things in your childhood, and perhaps some bad things happened in your youth, you can still overcome that and be a person of integrity and character. He overcame some terrible things that others did to him. Hey folks, his own brethren took him, and first they plotted to murder him. Then as a compromise, they sold him as a slave. Folks, some bad things happened to Joseph because of other people's decisions, but Joseph still overcame. What happened to him? Bad things might happen in your life, but you don't have to spend the rest of your life as a victim. You can be an overcomer. Joseph was an overcomer. He overcame serious reversals in his life. Boy, he went from the favored son with a coat of many colors to a slave to a prisoner. Some serious reversals in his life. And yet he overcame them. And you and I may go through some serious reversals. Job changes, health changes, financial changes, things that just set us back, but you can still overcome serious reversals. He overcame heartbreaking disappointments. Boy, he was in prison, and he interpreted the two dreams of the baker and the butler. He told the butler, he said, "Now when you get out, remember me. Get me out of this place. I don't belong here." And you know what the butler did? Forgot him. For 2 years. And yet Joseph overcame these heartbreaking disappointments, and so can you. Joseph overcame feelings of bitterness. How would you feel towards your brethren if they had first plotted to kill you and then sold you as a slave? And then years later, 13 years later, you have all power in Egypt. Your word is law, and there's your brethren standing in front of you, begging for bread. What would you have done? You know what Joseph did? Joseph wept. And Joseph yearned over his brethren. You know why? Because he overcame feelings of bitterness. You don't have to stay in the bondage of bitterness all your life. Bitterness is something that can be rooted out and dealt with, but only through the practice of forgiveness. The practice of forgiveness. The key to all of Joseph's overcoming life was that the Lord was with him, and I believe that the Lord was with him because of his own personal integrity. He loved God, he had a heart for God, and he had a character that overcame all of his obstacles and all that others did and all of his circumstances so that he was victorious in life instead of a victim in life. In Genesis 39, Joseph is in Egypt. As you know, he was sold by his wicked half-brothers, and he now works for Potiphar, the captain of the guard. And it was the beginning of a 13-year time span that showcased the fact that the Lord was with him. Now, do we have any 17-year-olds in here this morning? Any 17-year-olds? Oh, I got one right there. I didn't know that. No, I'm just kidding. Now, Beth is 17. She has plans. She's going to college. Got dreams. Got a double major in mind. Things that she wants to do in life. Can you imagine if Beth disappeared today and none of us heard from her for 13 years until she was 30? Can you picture that in your mind? Can you picture in her mind all of her plans and dreams gone, and year after year after year after year passes? She's 30 years old. Folks, that's how long Joseph went through all of these trials and ordeals, from 17 to 30, 13 years of his life. And yet we're going to see that he had an overcoming character. Let me point out some thoughts for you this morning. First, circumstances change, but integrity must not change. Now, Joseph's circumstances kept changing from bad to worse to worst. And yet Joseph met each circumstance with an unwavering character. He was the same. Now listen, when he was in his father's house, he had the same character as he did when he was in Potiphar's house. And he had the same character when he was in the prison house. And he had the same character when he was in Pharaoh's house. He never changed despite his circumstances. His character remained consistent. He had the kind of character and integrity that could be tested and therefore could be trusted. Now folks, if your faith cannot stand a test, it's not trustworthy. And if your faith is so fragile that if anything goes wrong, you bail out on God, your faith is fragile as an eggshell. It can't be trusted. If your character is so wishy-washy and flip-floppy that any little thing just knocks you out of God's will, your character cannot be trusted. Now, Our main family car is a Toyota Sienna. One reason why I really like this car, and I'm not trying to sell you a Toyota. One reason I really like this particular car is it had one of the highest, I think at the time it had the highest crash test rating of any vehicle its type. It had been tested and tested and tested. They take these cars and they smash them into something headlong. They have things hit them from the sides, hit them from behind. All these dummies flopping all over the place inside the car. And they tested them and tested them and tested them. And so they said this particular car is either the safest or among the safest vehicles for your family. And I have great confidence in placing my family inside of that vehicle, knowing that if the unthinkable happens, they have a much better chance of survival than if they were in a car that was not trustworthy. And folks, do you think that God does not put us through tests to see if we're going to be trustworthy in our character? God is going to try us and try us and try us. And Joseph went through the test, and Joseph's character was found to be sound, and it was found to be trustworthy. He could take care of his father's sheep, and he could take care of his father's responsibilities, and he was trusted by his father, and he could be trusted here, and he could be trusted here, and then he could run a nation because he had the kind of character that could be trustworthy. The problem with many Christians is not their circumstances, their lack of character. Wishy-washy, flip-floppy, squishy. They're like slinkies. It's just all over the place. Nothing stable. Their backbone is a piece of wet spaghetti. Not a 4x4 post. They simply lack the character to get up every single day of their life and do what they're supposed to do. And they suffer for it, their families suffer for it, and their Christian life suffers for it. Someone defined integrity this way, and I've always kept this definition of integrity. I've spoken of it several times. Integrity is keeping my commitment even if the circumstance changes. Boy, I make a commitment, but then all of a sudden, you know, I made this commitment over here when the circumstances were this set of circumstances. But I made a commitment. And then maybe a year or two later, all the circumstances have changed. Will I still keep my commitment? Integrity says I'll still keep my commitment. Since we're talking about weddings, you take a young couple, and they stand at an altar, and they say, I do, and they make their vows before God and man, and the circumstances are just right, and they make all these promises for better, for worse, for richer or poor, in sickness and in health, and they're both healthy, and they're both young, and they're both poor, but at least there's the hope of getting rich. There's no way to go but up. And you come back 20 years later, and all of a sudden the circumstances have changed. Now they're 40 years old, 45 years old. They're not slim and trim like they used to be. Maybe their health has changed. I knew of a couple that his health went south, developed cancer, and she left him so she wouldn't have to deal with him while he was sick with cancer. He died 6 months later. She couldn't even stay with him for 6 months. And yet there was a time when she stood there and she said, in sickness and in health, no, I can't handle that. I will not put up with that. And she left him to die alone in the last 6 months of his life. Integrity is keeping your commitment when the circumstances change. I think about Brother Miss Chandler. Miss Chandler no longer able to come to church. But I've been to their home and I've seen how Brother Chandler takes care of her and her advanced Alzheimer's. And he's a nurse for her day and night. Has to turn her every 2 hours all night long. And he takes care of her because way back yonder, and I've seen pictures. He showed me some pictures when I was at his house. But when they were a young couple, Brother Chandler was a strapping football star. Sure was. And Mrs. Chandler is such a beautiful bride. And they made promises more than 50 years ago to each other. Circumstances changed. But Brother Chandler has enough integrity that when the circumstances changed, he still keeps his commitment. And I respect that. And I respect those who keep their commitments. Others make commitments to God, and then the circumstance changes. Well, the job changed, the economy changed. Well, did you make a promise to God or not? Integrity says, I will keep my commitment. Look at Job. Satan said, Job's a mercenary. He only serves you because you blessed him. You made him the richest man on earth. You gave him all these kids. You gave him a good wife. You gave him all this wealth. If you took all that away from him, he'd curse you to your face. Of course, Job did not curse God to his face. And God said to the devil, still he holdeth fast his integrity. Because Job, before he had any kids, and Job before he had a wife, and Job before he had any wealth, loved God. And when he had all those things, he still loved God. When all those things were taken away, he still loved God because he was a man who held fast to his integrity. I wonder how many of us would hold fast as Job did. What will it take you to go back on your commitments or to go back from the faith? The Bible says, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain. You see, the circumstances in Joseph's life kept changing. The favorite son, coat of many colors, working for his dad, his whole life ahead of him. Now he's in a pit. Now he's in Potiphar's house. Potiphar's wife lies about him. Now he's in prison. And now he's still in prison. And finally he's in Pharaoh's throne room. But see, the circumstances kept changing, but Joseph stayed the same. Why? He had character. He had integrity. How much can your integrity take? How much will it take to break you away from your principles and commitments? I've known wives who are afraid if they gain 10 pounds, their husband wouldn't love them anymore. Well, that's a plate of bologna. Wives, well, if my husband, if he loses his hair, I just won't find him attractive anymore. Whatever happened to commitment and integrity? Whatever happened to sticking with each other? Whatever happened to getting through the tough times and doing what is right instead of what's always convenient or what we feel like? Well, how much can your integrity take? How much will it take to break you away from your principles and your commitment to God? And I'll tell you, for many, it doesn't take a whole lot. It doesn't take a whole lot. But God was with Joseph because he had solid iron integrity. And by the way, he had it as a young person. And that's amazing to me. He was 17, but he had that kind of character. And that's an amazing thing. Number two, we will always rise to our integrity level. Always rise to our integrity level. Let's walk through Joseph's life again. He's in his father's house. He has 11 other brothers. You know who the best one was? Joseph. You know why he was favorite? Because he was the best. What, just that Jacob just happened to like him better? He wasn't sleeping with his father's concubine. He wasn't murdering people in their homes. His brothers were pretty bad. He was the best among his brethren. When he ends up in Potiphar's house, you know what? His character is such that Potiphar gives him some responsibilities, and he does so well. He gives him some more responsibilities. Before you know it, because God has prospered him in everything that he's doing, Potiphar puts him over his whole house. He's head of the entire household, the steward of the whole place. Well, that went south. He ended up in prison. Started doing some odd jobs for the prison keeper. Before you know it, God blessed and he prospered. Now he's in charge of the whole prison. And when God took him out of there, God made him in charge of the whole country. You see that you always rise to your integrity level. And some go through life and, why don't I ever get ahead? Why can't I ever achieve something? Why can't I ever have success? Well, maybe because you're lacking in character. Maybe it's because you don't do your job. Maybe it's because you're not responsible. Maybe it's because you're not trustworthy. Maybe it's because you're not punctual. Maybe it's because you have not worked hard enough. You know, Joseph, he rose to the highest levels because he had the highest level of character. If you want to impress people, impress them with your character. You know, personality will take a person to a certain level, but character is what keeps them there. And character is what's most important. Everywhere Joseph ended up, he impressed men of ability. Here's the captain of the guard. He's a man who's achieved a great level of success, but Joseph impressed him. He stands before Pharaoh, and Pharaoh is impressed. He said, can we find such a one as this in whom the Spirit of God is? He impressed people with his character. The Lord was with him. Let me give you some character traits. Some character traits I find in Joseph. All right, we'll run through these very quickly. Number one, contentment. I think that contentment is the rarest of all character traits. To find someone who is truly content in any situation is rare. Joseph made peace with circumstances he could not change. Now, if you can change your circumstances, by means, do so. I mean, there's no reason you have to live at a certain level. If you can work hard and get out of that, do so. But man, if there's things in your life you can't change, you've got to make peace with it. And Joseph was a master at making peace with bad circumstances. Contentment is a key to joy and happiness in life. Godliness with contentment is great gain. We brought nothing into the world. It's certain we can carry nothing out. Having food and raiment, let us be there with content. Hebrews says, let your conversation be without covetousness and be content with such things as you have. You know, there are some circumstances in life that are not going to change. So why spend your life being miserable about things that aren't going to change? I mean, would you like to be in prison? Would you like to be a slave? Of course not. Joseph didn't like it either, but he couldn't change it. So he made peace with his circumstances and he kept looking for a way to get out of his circumstances. But he made peace with what he was going through. Contentment is a key to being at peace. Now listen, if I have to be a servant in Potiphar's house, am I better off being the lowest servant or being the head servant? Head servant. I get to decide everything, right? If I'm in prison, am I better off being the lowest prisoner or the guy that runs the place? Better off being the guy that runs the place, right? So Joseph, because of his contentment and his character, yeah, his circumstances were not the best, but they were the best they were going to be because of his character. He made peace, and because of his contentment, he got to be in charge. He got to decide what they're eating. He got to decide their rec room hours. He got to decide what was happening. And contentment is a key to happiness. And if you don't have contentment, you wouldn't be happy. If you had $1 million, you'd want $1,000,005. It's like money. If we don't control what we spend, it wouldn't matter if you made $200,000 a year if you spent $205,000 a year. Contentment is such a key to happiness and it's so seldom found. It's such a rare quality, but it's something we find in Joseph. Number two is submission to authority. Verse 2 tells us that he recognized the Egyptian as his master, as his boss. You know, if you can't submit to your boss, you're not likely to ever be the boss. Amen. Great leaders are first great followers. And, you know, since all of you have secular jobs, and all of you, I think, would agree with this, that, man, if you're going to go to work and you're going to be against the boss all the time, you're not very likely to ever be the boss. I work with guys like that, and they're always complaining about their supervisor, always dragging their feet, always giving the attitude. And they're never the ones that got promoted, and they never could understand it. Joseph was submissive to authority. Number three, Joseph had a good work ethic. Verse 4 says, he served him. Christians with character work hard, and they do the job right. Be a good worker. Now, I believe that if you have a job, you ought to show up on time. On time means early, never late. I'll give a dollar for an amen one of these. You know, if you're going to have a job, my mother started when I went to school, she had the whole day off and she was bored out of her mind. She started working at a McDonald's around the corner. She walked to work every day. She started out as a part-time fry cook while I was at school. Then she became a full-time cook, and then she became a swing manager, and then she became a store manager. And then she became a supervisor over the whole chain of McDonald's stores. It was privately owned. I think there were 13 stores. And she was the supervisor over all the stores. Actually, she went from store manager to troubleshooting store manager. She would go from, if a store was underperforming, she would go to it, get it back on track, and then she would go to another store. And then she became supervisor over the entire chain. And she didn't even have a high school diploma. She went back and got her GED later. She did go to Hamburger University. There is such a place, McDonald's Hamburg University. And my mother used to say to me that if you will just show up early and sometimes stay late when needed and do your job, she said, you'll never lack a job. Because it's so hard to find people that will just show up on time, do what they're supposed to do, and sometimes stay late when they're needed. And those of you who are supervisors and employers, you know what I'm talking about. A Christian ought to have a good work ethic. Do what you're supposed to do, and do it on time, and be a good worker. Don't be the Christian that has a bad testimony because you're lazy or you're an underachiever. Be a good, charactered Christian. Then he had diligence. He took care of the job so well that he was promoted. He took care of the details. He was responsible. He had consistency. He had gratitude. Boy, even he was even grateful for Potiphar and all that Potiphar had done for him. When Potiphar's wife proposed to him, he said, I can't sin against my master and sin against God. He had gratitude towards his master. Boy, if he'd been bitter, he said, well, this is a great way to get back at him. I'll take his wife. But Joseph had gratitude in his heart. Some people, they're never grateful for anything. You give them a job, they're not grateful for it. Let me tell you something. Now, I've never been an employer. My mom taught me this. My dad taught me this too. If you go into an interview and you're all nice and, boy, I really need this job and I hope that you'll hire me and I'll work for this amount of money, and 3 months later, all you're doing is complaining about your pay and complaining about the job and complaining about the boss, you got a problem. Because you asked for that job and they gave you that job, and you ought to be grateful to have a job. There's a lot of folks that don't have a job. And like, they might even want to have your job. And they might even get it if you're not grateful for what you have. When I worked at Saia Motor Freight, the union came in. The Teamsters. Now, if you're ex-union, I'm not looking for an argument. I just looked at the stuff and I said, there's no way that in Texas that a freight company can compete if it has to pay union wages. And so I cited for and I voted for the company. And I forgot where I was going with that. Oh, my point to them was, because we'd argue that, you know, the pro-union guys and us non-union guys, we'd argue, and, you know, as we talk, and I say, hey, listen, man, you agreed to work for this amount of money, didn't you? I know that I came into interview, and they said, we'll start you out at $11.90 an hour. And that was $4 an hour more than I was making at the last place. And I said, I'd be happy to take that. And he said, well, what, you know, every 6 months or so, you're up for a pay increase, and it tops out at $16.90. I said, I'll take that. They said, you got to work 50 hours a week, 10-hour shifts. We're not under the same department as other stores. You only get overtime after 50 hours. I said, I'll take that. Amen? I said, I'll do all that. They said, you have to work these hours, and you have to work 5 days a week, and you have to work 10-hour shifts, and we don't even take lunch breaks most of the time. And I said, I'm fine with that, because I'm making more money than I was making at the last place. And I said, it would be dishonest for me to now come back and say, after agreeing to work for that, to now say, you should give me all this extra stuff. If I can get it somewhere else, go get it somewhere else. That was my opinion then, and it's still my opinion. That a Christian ought to have gratitude when they have a job, and if you can do better, you ought to go do better somewhere else. Or if you can get or ask for a raise, you should ask for a raise. But you should be grateful for what you have. And then we see the character trait of moral purity. When Potiphar's wife approached him. You see, character counts. Notice number 3, that our integrity will be tested. In verse 7 it says, it came to pass after these things that his master's wife cast her eyes upon Joseph, and she said, lie with me. You know, Josephus and some of the Jewish historians say that Joseph was so handsome that all the women just couldn't keep their eyes off of Joseph. And here's Potiphar's wife, and she cast her eyes upon Joseph, and she proposed to him. She said, lie with me. Verse 8, but he refused and said unto his master's wife, behold, my master wotteth not what is with me in the house. He hath committed all that he hath to my hand. There's none greater in this house than I am. Neither hath he kept back anything from me but thee. Because thou art his wife. How then can I do this great wickedness and sin against God? Notice that Joseph recognized that this would have been a great wickedness in his life and a sin against God. You know, Hollywood has done everything it can to make this sort of thing acceptable, thrilling, and exciting. But it's nothing but filthy, wicked sin against God, against marriage, and against purity. It's not cute and it's not sexy for an older woman to be lusting after a young man. It's not a cougar, it's a devil. I tell you, it's just as perverted for some 40-year-old woman to be after some 17-year-old boy as it is for a 40-year-old man to be after a 17-year-old girl. And by the way, we're at the point in our country, because America is so sexually perverted, you got to keep your eyes on your boys just like you have to keep your eyes on your girls. And this woman came and proposed to him this, hey, it'll be okay, you're just a servant, no one will ever know, and it'll be fine. And but he refused and said it'd be a great wickedness and a sin against God. His integrity was tested and at a point of natural weakness, but his integrity stood the test. Verse 10 says that it came to pass that she spake to Joseph day by day. Can you imagine? He can't get away from her. What do you do? You go to the boss and say, sir, your wife keeps proposing to me. What do you do? She keeps trying to talk to him day by day. Says he hearkened not unto her, to lie by her, to be with her. Just sit with me. Sit on the couch with me. Come, just talk with me. Every day to wear down his resistance. By the way, men, you better watch out. Not just from the woman, and there are women like this in the workplace and elsewhere, looking for a quick hookup. And they don't care if you're married or not. Am I being too blunt this morning? Don't act like you never heard terms like that. And they're looking for things like that. And there's all kinds of wickedness out there. But I'm going to tell you, there's also those who if you're not careful, your relationship will get too close, because you're always talking together and become friends, and the friendship is not good for you. Well, I just need someone to talk to. Why don't you talk to your wife? Well, my wife didn't want to talk about it. Then talk to your dog. I talk to my dog. You don't talk to your dog? She's good at keeping secrets. Very sympathetic. Always agrees with me. Awesome. And constantly talking, wear down resistance. And I tell you, it's a shame how many times that men and women end up in adultery because it started out as being friends. And it's just not so easy to have a platonic relationship with the opposite sex. It really isn't. And she spoke to him every day. She's wearing down his resistance, but he would not hearken to her. He would not get close to her. His integrity was tested. And one day, she just threw herself at him. He turned and ran. She grabbed his coat, and he's struggling to get out of his coat and runs away, and he leaves his coat behind. And you know what did Shakespeare say? That hell hath no fury like a woman scorned. She was so mad that he'd rejected her that she laid by his coat when her husband came home. That Hebrew you brought in, he tried to rape me, and I screamed, and so he left, but he left his coat. Here's the evidence. Now, personally, I don't think Potiphar believed her. But like a lot of men, it's easier to have just to go along with the wife. Had Joseph put in prison. I don't know if he believed it or not, to be honest. He certainly had Joseph put in prison. See, his integrity was tested and he did the right thing. Let me point out fourthly that it's right to do right even if the outcome is bad. He was falsely accused. He was thrown in prison, get this, as a sex offender. That'll stick on your record. Thrown in prison as a sex offender, an attempted rapist. You see, Joseph made the right decision, but it had a bad outcome. Sometimes you do the right thing, and the consequences are painful. But the consequences of sin would have been worse. Because if Joseph had yielded to her, he would have never seen what God had in the future for him. So sometimes we say no good deed goes unpunished. Sometimes you do the right thing and it's going to cost you. But it's still right to do the right thing. It's still right to have your integrity. It's still right to pay the price if it's necessary. So I find that the Lord was with Joseph. When I ask myself, why was the Lord with Joseph? I think it's because Joseph, even at a young age and all the way through into his adult life, was a man of character, a man of integrity. America needs Christians that have integrity. They need men with integrity. They need women with integrity. They need young people with integrity. They need Christians in their workplace and in their homes that live by integrity. What our kids need is to see the Lord is with us, and the Lord will be with those who walk in integrity.